What, darling? Good evening, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, please hold your calls. We have with us this evening a very special guest, Glenn Spencer from American Patrol or American Border Patrol. And we're going to be talking about illegal immigration. But more than that, we're going to be talking about a much bigger picture. And that is a plan to destroy America from within, because there are people who hate this country and everything it stands for, because at one time America was a Christian nation. Didn't mean everybody had to be a Christian here at all, but it was built upon Christian principles, upon Anglo-American, more or less Anglo-Christian beliefs, far as liberty, limiting the power of government, individual freedom under God, those words of William Penn, those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants. This idea that we could have here in America, different than any other nation in the world, a nation acknowledged its freedoms came from God, and the governments were instituted among men to establish and maintain those freedoms. That was what it said in the Declaration of Independence. That was the reason you had government, was to preserve our God-given freedoms. Well, there are people who really hate that, and they set out many years ago to undermine the very fabric of this society. And one of the big things they did back in 1965 was to change our Immigration Act to begin to bring in large numbers of people from different cultures so that they would be able to divide our people and then to play one group against another. And then as time went by, of course, there was efforts to establish English as the official language of this country. And Senator Hayakawa, who was a Japanese-American senator from California, tried to get that legislation through. But the dark forces, lined against freedom, fought that at every turn because, you see, they don't want anything unifying us. They want everything dividing us. And, of course, in recent years, we've seen a flood of people coming into this country illegally. Now, we have an awful lot of immigrants coming in, but they come in legally, and most of them want to become Americans, to learn our culture, to learn our ways. They may never become Anglo, they may never become Christians, but they understand the principles upon which this country is based. Limiting the power of government, ruled by law, not by men. We are a republic and not a democracy. At least at one time they used to teach that to people coming into this country. And people, when they came into this country as legal immigrants, had to promise they would not go on welfare. They had to have a job. They would not be provided for by the government. They would provide for themselves. And you brought somebody in, you sponsored them, you had to accept that responsibility. But you see, all that has changed. And, of course, this is what Glenn Spencer is addressing today with American Patrol, American Border Patrol. He's trying to dramatize what's happening with the illegal immigration, where literally hundreds of thousands are coming into this country illegally every year. We have probably close to about 8 million illegal immigrants here who have no loyalty to this country. Who are here, they want to maintain their own culture, they want to maintain their own nationality. They want dual nationality. Most of them are Mexicans. And there's not any reason why a Mexican can't be a good American. But he's got to forego his loyalty to Mexico when he comes here and want to become part of our society, part of our culture, part of our language, and part of this concept of individual freedom under God, because we either will be ruled by God or will be ruled by tyrants. And I fear that that is exactly what many of the people who are pushing illegal immigration and trying to undermine our culture really are about. Well, Glenn, thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Well, Dr. Stan, you know, I was listening to you and recalling how our nation was founded by people looking for freedom for their religion. You see, there were people who the pilgrims who came here seeking freedom from oppression and landed on these shores with an idea of freedom, the very idea of freedom. And yet south of here a tyrant landed on the shores of Mexico and was looking, they were looking for gold. And now it seems that the two ideas are in conflict now. The freedom, the gold, the persecution and the pursuit of freedom are at now eyeball to eyeball here in the northern continent.
Well, I agree with you totally. Of course, it wasn't just the Pilgrims. It was the Puritans. It was the Huguenots. It was the Quakers. It was the Congregationalists. It was the Presbyterians. They were all here initially. And this was the very essence of our initial culture. In fact, at the time the Constitution was drawn up, the majority of the states had their own state Christian religion. In fact, in many states, you couldn't even hold government office unless you swore allegiance to our Lord Jesus Christ. now. The thing is how far we've come away from those concepts to where we are today, where you can't even have the Ten Commandments posted in our schools because the wicked people who would destroy this nation realize the Christian foundations, they must destroy that if they are to establish the tyranny that they plan. But part of this, of course, has been financed for almost 100 years by the Ford Foundation. And if you don't know what the Ford Foundation's up to, it's been financing socialism, which is nothing more than a return to a feudalistic society. It's funded many of the Communist Front organizations in America, all beautifully brought out by the Reese Committee investigation in 1953 and immortalized in the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence. But in recent years, the Ford Foundation has been funding the illegal immigration issue, and we have to separate illegal immigration from legal immigration. Those people there who oppose illegal immigration are branded as racist. No, we're not racist. We're not talking about immigrants who come here legally who want to become part of our society. We're talking about illegal immigrants, but they confuse this. They do it intentionally in the media, and of course anybody who opposes illegal immigration is immediately some sort of white Anglo-racist, having nothing to do at all with the fact that this is a conscious effort to destroy this society, and Glenn is on the front lines of this battle. Glenn, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about American Patrol, American Border Patrol, and what you're doing to try to preserve our country? Because if we, once we ever accept bringing people who've come in here illegally, and then they can bring in and make them legal and bring in all their families, why, this will be the end of the electoral process in America as we know it.
Exactly. Well, you know, with your leadership and listening to you over the years, we have fought illegal immigration in California. You know, after so many years of fighting that and losing that battle, I decided to come right down here to the Mexican border and use some of the technology that I had learned over the years to shed light on what's going on. And so we came down here a couple of years ago, and I decided to use the internet to use high technology to show the American people what was going on. And we began to do it, and it began to work, and we even developed our own unmanned aerial vehicles to fly over the border and look down and show America what was going on. And that worked, and now we've embarrassed the government to the point where they have now launched their own unmanned aerial vehicles this last week. And in fact, I was just watching C-SPAN, or rather CNN, and they were bragging that they have these eyes in the sky. And what's happening now in Arizona is that we're beginning to shut the border down. And by the way, I can tell you right now, I just got off the phone with Rick Altman of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, and they have gathered enough signatures here in Arizona now to put what we call a 187 or a Protect Arizona Now initiative on the November ballot. It will be there.
All right, fine. And what was the basic thrust of this this initiative, this state initiative?
Well, it's so simple. It really says if you're going to vote in Arizona, you must show that you're a legal resident. Isn't that interesting? You're a citizen.
It must be a racist if you want people to have to be citizens. I mean, they want to destroy our electoral system, and believe me, Muldave and Lulac and the Ford Foundation and the other great tax-exempt foundations and the people of great wealth who are pushing this want to destroy our electoral system because they want everybody in Mexico to be able to come here and vote so they can get their socialists into power. And the average person, the average immigrant, doesn't understand that socialism will bring about the same sort of society north of the border that today exists south of the border.
Well, Dr. Stan, how long ago was it that you wrote your book about the Ford Foundation?
I wrote my book, of course. I've written a number of books, but the book that we have kept in print for so many years was written back in 1958 by Rennie Wormser, and we have kept that reprinted. 1958? It told that time how the Ford Foundation was financing subversion of this country based upon a congressional investigation boarded its hornet's nest because the people of great wealth did everything they could to prevent that book from being circulated. I talked to the publisher. He told me he couldn't get that book in libraries. He couldn't get it distributed. He gave the plates to somebody else, and eventually I was given the plates, and that's how the book is in print now. And incidentally, if you're out there in the listening audience and you haven't read Foundations, Their Power and Influence, you need to read this book. It changed my life when I read it 40 years ago.
40 years ago.
But nothing has changed. I mean, and now they've just taken on this thing of financing illegal immigration. And there's a wonderful book, I'm sure you're aware of it. It's called Importing Revolution. And
yeah.
It goes into the Ford Foundation and what they're doing to undermine and destroy this nation from the immigration point of view. But the Ford Foundation has been working from every angle to destroy America for many years because old Henry Ford had a different agenda. He was very much a supporter of Adolf Hitler. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Henry Ford, a supporter of Adolf Hitler. He was also a supporter of communism, which most people don't understand. But that's all covered in my book, A Brotherhood of Darkness. But I'm doing all the talking. People want to hear what you have to say.
No, but I think, you know, it's incredible to me, having seen what the Ford Foundation has done in backing the, you know, Maldev. When I found out in working on this that this guy who was running policy and planning for the INS, Dr. Robert Bach, B-A-C-H, he worked for the Ford Foundation for 7 years.
Sure.
Before he took over the job of running the running the policy for the INS under Bill Clinton. And he was the one who totally destroyed our Border Patrol guys and implemented policies that emasculated the whole process. And he was Ford Foundation. And you knew this. How long ago did you said 40 years ago?
Well, 40 years ago, the Ford Foundation was actually basically the Reese Committee report came out in 1955 and pointed out that the Ford Foundation was financing socialism, that had been instrumental in financing the communist front groups that were behind China going communist.
This is 2004.
I know. Well, but you see, the thing is, people don't know history, and because they don't know history, they honestly think that Chairman Mao won the revolution in China. That's why he came to power. No, he didn't do that. It was because of the State Department policies that brought Chairman Mao to power by putting an arms embargo on Chiang Kai-shek, just as a decade later they put an arms embargo on President Batista of Cuba, just as a decade later they put an arms embargo on Somoza, Nicaragua, and then in 1979 they put an arms embargo on the Shah of Iran and brought the Khomeini to power. They do the same thing all the time, but always working behind the scenes. You'll find the Ford Foundation.
You know, would they have, how much money do they have in the bank?
They got about $6 billion.
No, I think $9.5 billion.
Right, they got a lot of money, that's for sure.
With $9.5 billion, they can do what they want.
Sure. Well, they're above the law, and that's the tragedy. And they interlock with the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation and the Pew Foundation and the MacArthur Foundation. And the greatest enemy of freedom in America today is the tax-exempt foundations, which are intent upon destroying the free enterprise system that gave birth to the
fortunes. With that money, they can do just about what they want.
Right, and they buy and sell politicians, too. Well, anyway, Gillen,
how long have you been, you know, I think this is so important because I've seen the effect. You know, I go out and fight with these guys every day. But when I find out, you know, like Mario Oblado, you know, who was the co-founder of MALDEF, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, which was started by the Ford Foundation,
sure.
Right? And he came out after he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, said California is going to be a Hispanic state, and anyone who doesn't like it should leave. They should go back to Europe. And here is a guy put into power by the Ford Foundation who is talking about ethnic cleansing in California.
Well, the tragedy is that all of these people are being used. The illegal immigrants are being used. Many of the Hispanic people are being used. Even a lot of our liberals are being used, and they really don't understand what's going on. Or the forces which are working behind the scenes through the great great tax-exempt foundations for the destruction of freedom, because if they destroy America, why, they lose everything. This is still the greatest country, the greatest land of opportunity in the world, although it's rapidly losing that those characteristics.
Well, I will tell you, I was just delighted, though, today. Day before yesterday, I was in Phoenix, and we have this Protect Arizona Now initiative.
Right.
And as I mentioned, because of the hard work of people like Rick Oldman and others who raised enough money to get the signatures on the ballot, to get the signatures on the petition, this initiative is going to be on the ballot. You know what they had to do? They were trying to get Arizonans to sign this petition, and the other side went out and hired, now listen to this, with all their money, hired all of the professional signature gatherer organizations in Arizona.
So that they wouldn't be able to get enough ballots to get the initiative on the ballot.
So what Rick had to do, he raised $50,000, and they found out they were hired. And so apparently, on our side, they got so mad. You know how much money he raised?
How much?
$425,000.
Well, I'm so glad he was able to do that and get that on the ballot.
And thank goodness, Dr. Stan, that some Americans stood up and said, okay, enough is enough.
Well,
and they put the money where their mouth was, and they got this darn thing on the ballot.
Well, you know, the thing is, Glenn, that the majority of the American people, and most of the Hispanic people who came in here legally, love this country and want to preserve it. And an awful lot of the Hispanic people here in California voted for Proposition 187 because they don't want the illegal immigrants coming in here and taking their jobs and threatening their stability of their society, which is our society. So we got an awful lot of good Hispanics, and I bet a lot of them are contributing and putting in money. These are the people who came here legally and love America.
No question about it. We have great people on our side of all stripes who are dedicated to the original principles of this great country, and thank goodness for you and others like you who are still fighting for it.
Well, we're going to be fighting as long as God gives us breath and gives us the opportunity to be on the air 5 hours a day and giving you a voice. And I hope you have some of those clips that played in the past.
I can go get those. Yeah.
Okay, why don't you get those? We're going to takes us a moment or two, and some of our listeners are going to be away for a time as they hear some of the commercials that are heard on our commercial stations affiliated with Radio Liberty, and then we'll be right back here with Glenn Spencer, talking about illegal immigration and how it is deemed, how is it designed to destroy what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and what most people don't understand is many of these illegal immigrants are actually being encouraged to vote, and they're being told exactly to vote, and they're to vote, of course, for socialism, for the people who want to promise to give them something, a land, money, welfare. And, of course, isn't it wonderful when you're an illegal immigrant, you can get free health care? You can even come in here if you've got tuberculosis, and they're not going to treat you down in Mexico because they don't have the money, but you can come in here and get treated for nothing. And of course, it's really not going to cost somebody. What it does, it runs up the expenses of the hospital, and they pass that on to you, which is one reason why healthcare costs are skyrocketing, because the government insists that the hospital get free medical care to people who are here illegally. Does that make sense? And then, of course, they can get special education rates to go to state colleges here in California. An illegal immigrant who is known to be an illegal immigrant can go to college far cheaper than a citizen, an American citizen, coming in from the state of Nevada. Why are you subsidizing people who are here illegally? And they can get food stamps and welfare and all sorts of things. And well, Glenn, why don't you pick up this story now? Certainly the organization for immigration reform, Americans for Immigration Reform?
Yeah, Federation for American Immigration Reform. Rick Oldman, I've worked with him for 10 years. They came out here to Arizona, worked with him. and they were able to get 190,000 signatures to put on the ballot this November an initiative that really merely asks if you're going to vote, make sure that you're a citizen, and if you're going to ask us to give you welfare, make sure you're here legally, and that's all it asks. But it's going to be on the ballot. But it is opposed by one of the Republican congressmen here, Jim Colby. He doesn't like that idea.
Well, I hope people remember that when they go to the polls. But, of course, in the name of fairness, why the nobody can, really, no private organization can publish any congressman's voting record within, 60 to 90 days of the election. You know, of course, right. In the name of freedom of speech.
Well, you talked about, you know, some of these clips that I might have, and I do have some.
All right, we want to wait about 2 minutes before we play those, because some of our people aren't here, and I want everybody who's listening to our program this evening to hear those clips of these various Mexicans, racists, and that's what they are, who are really laying out exactly what they intend to do. But their goal, their objective, is to take California and New Mexico and Arizona and Texas and one other state. They call it Aztlan.
Right.
And they want to take that over politically, economically, and unite it with Mexico so you can have all the same wonderful benefits if you are here living here in California as they have in Mexico. And you say, that's crazy talk. Well, I'm sure that a lot of the things going on today would have been considered crazy talk. The idea of a cashless society, the idea that we would be over there fighting in the Middle East, the fact that we would have a terrorist attack on America, that America that could put a man into space, that America could land a man on the moon, could put, space vehicles which circled Saturn, but we couldn't monitor the terrorists who we knew were here in the United States. There's something wrong with that scenario, and I'd like to suggest that maybe we're not trying to stop what's going on today. Maybe the people in control have a different agenda. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our special guest this evening, Glenn Spencer from American Patrol, American Border Patrol, and I want our listeners to hear some of these clips he has. Why don't you just, we've got a few minutes here before our next break, why don't you go ahead and play those for us, Glenn?
Okay, sure. What I have is, to begin with, the President of Mexico talking about how he is expanding his nation.
Hello there. Are you there, Glenn? Well, I hope we didn't lose Glenn. Glenn, are you there? Well, I wonder if we've lost Glenn or we just lost the President of Mexico. I think maybe, Glenn, are you there? Well, Glenn doesn't seem to be there, so I'm going to talk for a moment or two. I think maybe I'm going to go ahead and... Glenn? Okay, we're going to disconnect and call him back again. I'll ask my producer to call Glenn back again. We may have hit the wrong button, so that sometimes happens. But when you hear these clips, you'll find them really amazing. Dale, will you please try to get Glenn back on the line? Okay, fine. And so he's going to be getting Glenn back somehow or other. They must have disconnected us. But these people are very open in what they intend to do. They are racist. They have the full backing of people in Washington, D.C. And they want to actually unite five United States states with Mexico. Now, you say, well, why would anybody want to do that? Well, there are people in Washington, D.C. who really hate this country. They have a different agenda. And they realize that if you can separate our people, play one group against another, create unrest in our society, and it's very easy to certainly to get people of one racial group or one heritage and unite them against another group to play one group against another. That's what they've done in Canada for so long, playing the French-speaking Canadians against the English-speaking Canadians. That's how you maintain power. It's divide and conquer. And the same techniques have been used by tyrants down through the years. people find it difficult to believe that there really are people who want a dictatorship in America, but you only have to read what these people write. If you read the writings of the people in the Council on Foreign Relations, a recent article there, criticizing Professor Huntington of Harvard University, we're talking about our culture and wanting to maintain it, and pointing out that there really is an elite in America that look at the world entirely different than us common folks. Glenn, somehow we lost you. Pick the story from there.
Happened, but, you know, electronics being electronics, yes, we were, you know, I was about to play a clip. It said, the president of Mexico said, I have proudly affirmed that the Mexican nation extends beyond the territory enclosed by its borders, and that Mexican migrants are a very important part of it. That was a declaration of war on America by the president of Mexico, and nobody listened.
Well, nobody heard it. This is the thing.
Nobody heard it. He said it in Chicago, and he declared demographic war on America, but nobody, paid any attention.
Well, this is because of the degree of control over the major networks. And, you know, usually when a speech like that is going to be given, why all of the major networks disappear. I'll never forget one time attending a meeting when the head of the American Baptist Association with 6 million black members was going to appear before a predominantly white conservative audience. And ABC and CBS and all of the television networks were there until he started to speak, and then they all disappeared and turned off their cameras. Why? Because they don't want the American people to know that there really are a lot of blacks who love America just as much as you and I do.
Right.
Have time for maybe one more tape, or maybe we better hold that until we get back from our coming break. And you've actually got quite a few of these clips. And Glenn has put together a wonderful video called The Conquest of Ashland. Would you like to tell our listeners about that until we go to the break?
Well, you know, I was on the O'Reilly Factor, and it was Newt Gingrich was the host, and I told Newt that we were being invaded and explained to him how. So I used that as the kind of the nucleus, the kernel of an idea for a videotape. So what I did was take my interview with Newt Gingrich on the O'Reilly Factor and take what I said to him, then expanded on it and made a videotape out of it.
And that is really a wonderful, wonderful tape. It's called The Conquest of Ashland. We actually offer this to my ministry because we think it's one of the most important things as far as immigration you'll see. And you'll actually see many of these Mexican fascists talking about how they're going to take over our country. These people are deadly serious, and they have some of the most wealthy people in America today financing their effort. We'll be right back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Glenn Spencer, and you're really pretty hard to make any sense out of what's going on today unless you understand that there really are spiritual forces behind everything that's going on. But why don't you tell us a little bit more of this video of the conquest of Ashland?
Well, you know, what I did was, as I said, I was on the O'Reilly Factor with Newt Gingrich, and I said, you know, Newt, at one point in 1997, the president of Mexico, in talking about our immigration laws, said, quote, we will not tolerate foreign forces dictating and enacting laws on Mexicans. And what I did, Dr. Stan, I knew I was going to go on the air with him. I knew I was going to be on the O'Reilly Factor. So I memorized all of these quotes that these reconquistas had said. And so I went on the air and I quoted them one after the other on the O'Reilly Factor. And then what I did in the, because I knew I was going to go on the air, so I memorized every one of these quotes. And so what I did with my video is I replayed my interview with Newt Gingrich restating these quotes, right, and then replaying them proving that what I had just told the former head of the House of Representatives, everything that I told him was absolutely true.
Now, what, of course, was the Newt Gingrich's response to what you were saying?
He was nonplussed.
Well, you have to understand, for our listeners out there, Newt Gingrich is part of the corporate socialist elite, longtime member of the Council on Foreign Relations, posing as a conservative, leading the conservatives to their destruction. He did a great job, of professing morality while he was sleeping with about everything he could find in the neighborhood. Professing his dedication to, preserving our freedom while undermining at every turn.
Yes. And a contract with America.
Right.
The problem with that contract, it was only signed by one party, Newt Gingrich. The Americans never signed it. It was a sham from the beginning to the end.
But it sounded real good, and all the things, the principles sounded really great, but they were never intended to accomplish anything. They were just to give you that sort of feel-good feeling that we're really going to get something accomplished with Newt as the leader.
So he has not plausible deniability right now, because I told him face-to-face, live, and that's what I like about that program.
Hold right just a moment, and we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Glenn Spencer of American Border Patrol, American Patrol, and he's on the front lines of this battle, ladies and gentlemen. He's working day and night down on the border, trying to let Americans realize that hundreds of thousands of people are coming to this country every year. They're coming in illegally, and of course their purpose is to take everything they can from this country, to be able to vote in our elections, to begin to make America more like Mexico, and eventually, of course, to take back the land that was stolen from them back in, 1830 or 1840. They really believe this. The people in Mexico honestly believe we stole their land and they're going to take it back, and they're going to be prosperous just like us. In fact, they're even told to start looking at home to decide which one they want when they take over. We're not talking about something imaginary. We're talking about something real going on today, and the fact you're not hearing about this is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Go ahead.
Absolutely. We were told that 60 Minutes was going to come out and do a story on this. They then called back, and the producer told me that the pressure on him was so great that they had to cancel the special.
Other words, CBS.
CNN came out from CNN, we're going to do a special on you. And then I was told, even this morning, that the thing was canceled because they did not want this story told.
They don't want the American people really to know. This is really what we're against. Because if you've got enough money, you can certainly put pressure on the media. You can just threaten to withdraw your ads. And some of the richest people and the wealthiest, most powerful people in America are working with the Ford, Rockefeller, and Carnegie Foundation to change America forever.
Absolutely. And Dr. Stan, you are so right. If people just, just keep telling this truth, speak your truth clearly, and this is so true. But the wonderful thing we have today is the internet, and that's cutting through this curtain of lies. And AmericanPatrol.com is the most popular website on this issue in the country. 10,000 people a day come to that website.
AmericanPatrol.com.
AmericanPatrol.com.
Right.
And I have a guy that I, great guy who maintains this. He lives in a little apartment overlooking San Pedro. Keeps his cats and an old salt. He's great. Tom. And I try to give him enough money to pay his rent and feed his cats. And that's all I can do, But we have the most popular website on this issue in the country with, no money. But it is beginning to work. That aspect of the internet You know, just like the Xerox machine, I think, destroyed the Soviet Union, I think the Internet and programs like yours just might save America.
We're going to keep trying. Well, let's tell our listeners exactly what you're doing now. You've got these aerial vehicles, which you've been able to build, what, $30,000, $40,000, something like that?
That's right. What I did, because I have a technical background, I came down to the border a couple of years ago, and I said, we've got to use... Well, the reason I did this was there was a gal by the name of Muriel Watson, and about 5 years ago, I visited her in San Diego, and Muriel was the widow of a Border Patrol official, and she was so sick of these people rushing across the border that one night in 1989, they got 24 cars down on a road called Dairy Mart Road, and lined them up and pointed them at the border, and at 9 o'clock they turned their lights on, and they could see all these people rushing across the border. Well, they came back the next month and the next month, and a year later they had 1,500 cars, Dr. Stan, and they turned their lights on. Now, what happened was the media couldn't ignore it. The congressman couldn't ignore it. The people got together and did something. So I went down and talked to Muriel, and I said, well, what if we could do the same thing on the Internet, show the entire border? And she said, that's a good idea. So that was 4.5 years ago, and now we're doing it. We've built unmanned aerial vehicles on our own that now force the government to use them. And I've got some great tactical people. Can you believe this? We built them on our own. We fly them.
And they will actually take video pictures of
them. Yes, and we send them up on the Internet. Right. And we'll be up tomorrow morning, okay, about 7 o'clock Pacific time. You can go on AmericanBorderPatrol.com and see pictures of the border. We send back live and people crossing the border.
And, of course, are you using night photography?
Oh, yes, and we have an infrared camera. The problem we have right now is it's I have to pay people to do this, you know, and so it costs me about $800 a day to go out and do that, you know. But yeah, we have the ability to do that, we were the first to ever report illegal aliens crossing the border using a night, unmanned aerial vehicle.
And of course, then you have other plans that are using sensors in the desert so that they can track when the people are coming through.
Of course. We designed new sensors. They have a little computer in them and a radio transmitter, and I'm looking at a mountain up here, Fort Huachuca Mountain. We have a repeater up there. We can do all of this.
And first, it can be done very inexpensively. Of course, the government, when they do it, costs 20 or 30 times as much and nowhere near as efficient. But, you know, at least Glenn has embarrassed the people, in Washington, D.C. to begin to do something, because after all, they keep telling us we're involved in a war on terrorism, yet they refuse to close our borders.
Exactly.
Now, if we really are involved in a war on terrorism, why won't they try to close our southern borders? And maybe they know something that you're not supposed to know.
Yeah.
Maybe they're simply scaring us to death, so we'll give up our freedom in the name of fighting those wicked terrorists. But now Glenn has showed very easily how easy it would be to close the borders if they really wanted to. So if nothing else, you've sort of embarrassed them. I bet you're not very popular with Muldave and Lulac and the Ford Foundation.
No. I mean, we have ministers down here who I was in an argument with day before yesterday, that they don't like the idea of us having unmanned aerial vehicles to find people in the desert who are dying, Dr. Stan. And I said, well, why would you be opposed to using technology to save lives? And I have this on tape. This one guy grabbed the other guy and dragged him off of the camera. He didn't want him to answer the question.
No, of course, but you see, they're really not interested in people dying in the desert.
No.
They're interested in an issue so that they can mobilize public opinion, because they want to destroy America, and that's the whole idea. You don't want a solution. You want a problem, and that's how you mobilize the people behind you.
Yeah, I have it on tape. This guy grabbed this priest. He was a priest. And I said, well, what we can use, they can save. And he grabbed him and dragged him off the camp.
I'd love to see it. You got to post that on your website?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Well, Glenn's doing a great job. And a lot of people are learning about what's going on from Glenn Spencer. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to put a call in for our listeners up in the Great Northwest, we're going to have to let Glenn go here before too long. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Although Glenn's going to be with us for the next hour. If you do have a question, a comment you'd like to make, we'd love to hear from you before we get to the hour. So again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, I'm sure that you are in touch with a lot of people on the Border Patrol who work for the government. Aren't a lot of them very frustrated? They're trying to do a good job and being thwarted at every turn?
At every turn. On our board of directors, Dr. Stan, are two former chief U.S. Border Patrol agents. As a matter of fact, on our board of directors is the guy who ran the Tucson sector of the Border Patrol. That's right down here, the busiest sector, before the guy who now has that job. So we have experts that we deal with every day, and I was on the phone with them today. I was on television last night in Tucson about this issue where they're spending $13 million of flying illegal aliens back to the heartland of Mexico. In other words, instead of just, you know, putting them across the border, they're chartering flights to fly them into Mexico City and then giving them tickets to their hometown. And I talked to Bill King, who's on my board of directors. He was a chief Border Patrol agent, ran the amnesty program. And he was at a luncheon today with retired Border Patrol officials, and I called him and I said, this is what they're doing. You could hear the laughter in the background. I said, you've got to be kidding. They did this many years ago. It's always failed. They're now going to spend, Dr. Stan, can you believe this? $13 million in the next 3 months flying people back into the hinterlands of Mexico, and all they're going to do is come right back. All of our money. Hello?
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 Hi. My name is Jonathan, and I'm from Clayton, Washington, and I've been listening to your program, and it's kind of interesting. You know, I live up here in the northern part of the country, and we're even finding a lot of Mexicans, illegal immigrants, actually pouring into this area because we have some tree farms here. And it's amazing how these people can live. I mean, 20 of them will pack into a hotel room and,
right,
you know, they'll work in these tree farms for, you know, next to nothing. And, you know, these people, they just, I don't know how they manage to survive, but they have a totally different mindset, and you know, and they don't seem to really, you know, want to be a part of this country. I mean, you know,
well,
to try to communicate to them. I mean, they.
Well, they really did. One time we had a Becerra program, and for the farmers or tree farmers, whoever it was, who needed people to come in, they were brought in. They could come here. They would work for a time and make money and go home again. But, you see, that was a successful program. They don't want a successful program. They want to create the problem. And then they can sort of justify making everybody who hears here illegal. And these are not bad people. But they are going to destroy America if we don't close our borders. There is no other country in the world that allow, uncontrolled immigration. Certainly, the people in Switzerland don't allow it. The people in other countries don't allow it. Even the Mexicans don't allow it. They do not allow people coming in from Central America into their country, but they demand the right to have them come in here. So was there a point you'd like to make, Jonathan, other than you feel sort of frustrated like Glenn does?
I don't know. I guess that would be it. As I do just feel frustrated about this situation, you know, that you know, these people are here, and, you know, the authorities don't really seem to be doing anything about it.
They're not allowed to do anything about it. This is the tragedy. We're not allowed to enforce the laws. Why would that be? Well, God, why don't they enforce the laws? Why don't you explain
well,
to them?
You know, it's very interesting. You talk about tree farmers, right? About a year ago, I heard that there was a piece written in the Arizona Republic that if we eliminated, got rid of all of the illegal workers, lettuce would cost us $5 a head, right? So I'm an economist and I've studied mathematics, so I went back and got a computer model of what it costs to produce lettuce, right? And I went in and looked at the labor element and then adjusted the labor element in this computer model to find out what it would take for lettuce to cost $5 a head. Well, it turns out that you'd have to pay the workers $275 an hour, okay, for lettuce to cost $5 a head. And that's just true. And that's the kind of work every American would like to do. Okay? Pick lettuce. But this is where it gets kind of a little esoteric, a little complex. As an economist, and I consider myself an economist in labor, the problem is it's the marginal cost. And in a competitive economy, when you're trying to outdo the other guy, it's pennies can make the difference. If I'm trying to sell a head of lettuce to Safeway, and the guy next to me can undercut me by a half a cent, he's going to get the job, right? So what happens is that when you get, it's bad money pushing good money out. It's bad labor costs pushing good labor out. And they have to, in order to survive, home builders and all these other people who use cheap labor have to, competing with each other in a free economy, have to use illegal aliens to survive.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much for calling, Jonathan. And let's go to Nat, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Nat. How are you doing?
Hi, great. Jack McLam, American Citizens and Lawmen Association, has done a stellar job improving that the war on drugs is a real pathetic inside job.
Right.
And I suspect the same is true here.
Right.
So what I remember hearing on another broadcast mentioned by some astute researchers that Congress passed legislation in 1902 called the Dick Act that forever would prevent government intrusion, regulation, etc. In the private ownership and use of firearms.
Wait a minute. What does this have to do? Firearms have to do with immigration?
Well, sealing off the border. I agree the immigration policy is a pathetic farce, and it obviously serves the purpose of reinstalling the current de facto dictator being the Bush crime family. They're even, of course, making it easy for them to obtain driver's licenses and then, at that time, be registered voters as well. No, but what I'm saying is people in that area, if I were out west, boy, I would, anyway, seal off the border yourselves. There's precedent, according to the executive director of the NRA that served around 1990-91, he authored an article in the American Rifleman, and he cited the United States Code mandate for a civilian marksmanship training program. And he also identified the existence of a secondary militia. And that was every able-bodied man and woman up to a certain age.
What you're really then is suggesting that we should have militias that would be sealing the border if the government won't do it. Is that your thought?
That's That's absolutely the
point. All right, let's ask our guest, Glenn Spencer, what do you think about what Nat is saying? Because people have tried to do this thing. They've got into real trouble with the government, or at least some of the people have actually been arrested for interfering with the illegals, haven't they?
Yes, they have, and this is where I come down on that. We do not interfere with anyone. We don't. I don't even carry a weapon when I go down to the border. But I would say this: if you know, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution guarantees us a Republican form of government, each state, and protection against invasion, but we're being invaded.
Yeah,
and we are.
And I bet Sheriff John Mack would agree with this.
Well, okay, so what I would say is this: you know, once we've established beyond even reasonable doubt that our government is refusing to protect us against an invasion, then I would understand, and I would encourage, and I would support American citizens taking it upon themselves to protect their liberties, to protect their nation.
And yet, of course, people like Ranch Rescue and others who've tried to do this have gotten into real trouble because, Nat, the problem is not on the border. The problem is in Washington, D.C.
The problem is in New York City. It is on the border. Yes, we are being invaded by thousands of people every day. You know, I've been at this many years, and I've been, preaching against individual actions of Americans, but I think that eventually the day will come where that may be the only option we have.
But until we get things straightened out in Washington, D.C., we're never going to solve the problem. Would you agree with that?
I know that, but ultimately, we may have to take matters into our own hands.
Okay,
here's something maybe for Judicial Watch or one of those legal eagle watchdog groups. It's breach of the fiduciary trust.
No, ultimately, if it comes down to your kids are being killed, raped, murdered, your country is being taken over, then by God, it's up to the red-blooded American male to take it upon himself to protect his family and his country.
I think somebody once said that if treason never doth prosper, because if it prospers, none dare call it treason. And I'd like to suggest we've got some very treasonable organizations, both in New York City and in Washington, D.C. Hey, Nat, thanks so very much. Just keep listening. God bless. Well, let's go to Ron in Richland, Washington. Hi, Ron. Did you have a question or comment?
Well, the comment I have, one of the most vociferous opponents of these illegal immigration is Michael Savage. And his radio show comes on a local station up here, but when the Seattle Mariners are playing, his show is preempted because they broadcast the play-by-play of the Seattle Mariners in Spanish over the radio station that normally airs his program.
Well, that tells you a lot about what's going on, doesn't it?
Anyway. Yeah, it sure does. But I heard that there were Catholic bishops on both sides of the border who provide safe houses for illegal aliens. And
we live in a world, you know, you sort of wonder what these people can be thinking of. Don't they realize what happens when you destroy a nation? But I will tell you that every communist and every dedicated socialist and so many of the people of great wealth who are using communism and socialism are on the other side, and they've got the wealth of this nation, the banks, they've got the media, they've got the educational system. All we've got are just a lot of people on our side who love America. But I like to think that hopefully we're on the side of righteousness.
Well, I thought this was a big enough issue that I wanted it brought up in one of the political parties in the state convention, but you couldn't. It was almost like the leadership filibustered it. You couldn't even get it on the platform.
Absolutely, they are going to sit on you, stick a wad of toilet paper in your mouth, or anything they can do to keep you from talking about this issue.
And you have to understand, I'm sure as you well do, Ron, that both the Democrat and the Republican parties are controlled by people who have an identical agenda. Oh, they pretend to differ as far as abortion and homosexuality and family issues, but both of them are in favor of big government, internationalism, globalization, sending our jobs overseas, unbridled immigration, and eventually, of course, making everybody who's here illegal as we move away from being a sovereign nation into a multicultural nation and then into this wonderful new world utopia that these people dream of. Well, I don't think it's going to be a dream. I think it's going to be more like a nightmare.
Well, the people who run it, the big shots, they didn't even want some of these social issues on the platform.
Sure. Well, you're talking probably about the Republican Party.
Right.
All right. Well, you don't have to beat around the bush here. I'm a lifelong Republican, but the trouble is the Republican principles that I believe in, it seems that the leaders of the party don't believe in them either. So, you know, we're just going to have to find some other alternative.
Well, you know, it's, I hate to ostracize myself, and maybe I'm not going to do that, but maybe I can try and fight from within.
Yeah, well, you keep it sort of like trying to fight the wheel from within the belly. Sometimes it's hard to do. God bless you, Ron. So we're going to have to go to a break, but I hope you're going to listen to the next hour on shortwave or the Internet, but we're going to have to let you go right now.
All right, thank you, Dr. Stan.
Thank you. Well, so this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty really is listener-supported, and we look to those of you who listen to our programs and believe in what we're talking about to help us. If you have not yet seen the video that Conquest of Aslan put up, our guest this evening, Glenn Spencer, you need to get it. Why we have the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which gives you the history of the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie and Foundation, and the Rockefeller Foundation. That book changed my life when I read it. And then, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't seen it or read it, shame on you. You need to get the book, get the video, or get the book, the video, and the audio taped all together and copy them. And you have to help us get the information out. We can only do so much on our own. Now, if you want the video, Conquest of Aslan, you want to get the book, Foundations, Their Power or Influence, or you want to get my book or the Brotherhood of Darkness special, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. They'll give you information on how you can obtain these. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. So until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back with you to wrap up this week. This is Dr. Stan asking you to pray for America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our ministers, because they should be leading this truly spiritual battle, because this is not simply an economic or immigration battle. It's a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, economic battlefield. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for revival, because if America doesn't turn back to God, do you know any reason at all why God should ever again bless this country? And lastly, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you. I don't know where all that music's coming from, but maybe we could get our engineer, if you'd get him out. We seem to be getting a little interference here. So
Glenn?
Are you still there, Glenn?
Oh, yeah, I'm playing the piano.
Oh, you were playing the piano?
Yes.
All right, well then please don't get the engineer out.
I'm sorry.
I thought that that some other station was interfering with us.
No,
anyway,
no.
For this hour, of course, our guest again will be Glenn Spencer. We're talking about the invasion of the United States, an invasion that most people are really relatively unaware of. They see the Mexicans here, predominantly Mexicans, some are from even further south. They're here, they're looking for work, they'll work for very, very cheaply. But this has tremendous political implications because the wicked people want to make them all American citizens so that they can simply overwhelm your vote and the vote of every other person who clings to our principles. Principles of freedom under God, with people who look to the state to look after them like they do in Mexico. What people don't understand is that Mexico had their revolution in about 1930. It was a communist revolution, and we have a wonderful book on this if you're interested. It's called No God Next Door, and it tells about the revolution, about the occult organizations behind it, how on almost every telephone pole there was a priest or a nun that was hung. And then they established their new wonderful communist society, which was a ruling elite and everybody else reduced to serfdom. And, of course, you were very, very capable. Why, they would simply buy you off or kill you. That was the way the system worked. And that has existed until recently and when they supposedly have a two-party system. But, of course, the same policies continue. So if you understand that the people there, most of them are impoverished, the great numbers of people, I don't blame them for wanting a better life. But they don't understand our principles of freedom, they don't understand our heritage, they don't understand our culture, and they will destroy this. And Glenn, last time we talked, you were speaking a little bit about Samuel Huntington's book, Who Are We? Would you like to talk a little bit about that? Because I think his contentions are really so vitally important to an understanding what we're talking about.
You know, who is Samuel Huntington? He happens to be the head of the history department at Harvard University, right? And was at one time on the staff of the National Security Council. And in the 60s, wrote a piece on the Vietnam War when it came back to the NSC staff. They said, if you're right, we're wrong. Well, it turns out he was right. And so now, the chairman, and it really grates a lot of these liberals at Harvard, the chairman of their history department has now come out with a book called Who Are We? And in it, the head of the history department at Harvard University has said that the greatest challenge to the survival of America as a nation is Mexican immigration, migration from the South. This is threatening us. This is going to essentially turn us into a bifurcated nation of two languages and two cultures. And many people are beginning to pay attention. But the backlash is also enormous. They're building up a wall of untruth against what he is saying.
And, of course, there was a recent recent article in Foreign Affairs magazine. Now, for our listeners who don't know, Foreign Affairs is the most important magazine in the United States. That and Foreign Affairs. But, finally, Foreign Affairs and Foreign Policy are the two most important magazines. But Foreign Affairs is, in my estimation, the most important magazine. This is the theoretical journal of the Council on Foreign Relations. And about not this most recent issue, but the one before that, they had a critique on Samuel Huntington's book, and they were so critical of him. I mean, after all, you know, the elite have run this country, and the elite, of course, don't see the threat that Samuel Huntington does. Well, he's equating with the more or less common people, you know. But, of course, the elitists think differently, and that's absolutely right. The Council on Foreign Relations is an elitist organization. They have a different agenda. They don't believe in sovereignty. They don't believe in nationhood. They believe in a multicultural society. They believe in a one-world government run by an elite. And if you read their publications as long as I have, and I've been reading them for 40 years, and I've been to their headquarters, and I've been to their files, and you go in, you sign in, and you go to the headquarters there at the Harold Pratt House in New York City at 58th to 68th Street, and there in front of me were all the people from the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Carnegie Foundation signing in, because we had to sign in, and I signed in. I went through their secret files. These people want a different world than you and I do. They want a world run by an elite. They don't believe in our Constitution. They don't believe in freedom under God. They don't even believe in God. They have a different different outlook. So I hear Samuel Huntington really talking like more like Pat Buchanan, trying to get people to see we're going to lose America.
There's no question about it. He is such an authority. You know, I'm looking at his book, and I'm looking at the jacket, and praise for his earlier works, right? Praise for his book, Clash of Civilizations and the Remaking of World Order. Now, this is what Henry Kissinger said about his book. Sam Huntington, one of the West's most eminent political scientists, presents a challenging framework for understanding the realities of global politics in the next century. The Clash of Civilizations and the Remaking of World Order is one of the most important books to have emerged since the end of the Cold War. Henry Kissinger.
No, but he's, he's talking not about the previous book.
But his earlier book, right?
Well, and I will tell you that Henry, what he said in that book was, the last thing you want to do is get involved in a war in the Middle East, because if
exactly.
you get a war in the Middle East, you're going to get, because of the kin relationship between the people of the Muslim faith,
right.
you're going to get them all mad at you.
That's
don't
right.
try to impose your values on them.
Don't do this.
Right? You're going to create a class of civilizations, and whether you know it or not, that's exactly what our leaders have done
exactly
intentionally.
Exactly what they did. And I don't know if you know this, Dr. Stan, but I was on From the Heartland with Kasich about a month and a half before the war with Iraq started, and I had an opportunity. I was on national television. It was cable, but millions of people were watching. And I said, I think it's this is just a quote of what I said. I said, here we are about to go halfway around the world to start a war with a country that is no direct threat to us, while at the same time, every night, 3,000 people cross our borders from a land which a recent poll found that they believe this is their country. It's Mexico. So I was opposed to going to war with Iraq. I'm not opposed to deposing, Saddam Hussein, but the idea was, you know, we have choices in our lives. We can go out and have a hamburger or go to the library. We can take care of our bodies or hurt our bodies. We can spend $180 billion in Iraq or possibly helping solve the problems in this hemisphere. What difference might there have been with that decision, and let Saddam Hussein just stew there because he was no threat to anybody, and then spend those billions, $180 billion, helping this hemisphere and the resources we have?
Well, what sort of response did you get from John Kasich? Now, this is the former
congressman. Well, he sort of dropped his jaw.
Right.
He didn't know how to respond. But I felt good after that I was on record a month and a half before the war started, saying that they are no threat to us. You know, I did military operations research. I worked in the Pentagon for a number of years, a number of months during the Vietnam War. I was brought in there as an expert. I was brought in to work for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. As a military operations research analyst during the Vietnam War, and my recommendations obviously weren't followed. But the point is that when I saw what was going on there in Iraq, where half of his country was a no-fly zone, where we had 3,400 cruise missiles pointed at his nose, where we had overflights and watching everything he did,
I don't care if he had, as I said, I don't care how many weapons of mass destruction he has. If he had lifted one finger, he knew he would have been destroyed. And within that context, for us to attack him, to attack that nation, knowing that they were a toothless tiger, was an abomination. And I don't care how many people argue the other way. That was an abomination.
Well, of course, the thing was that we supposedly went to war because we had been attacked on September 11th, and we were going to go to war against Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, only we let them escape. And if you haven't read the book entitled Hunting Bin Laden, which is the story of the...
There may be a lot that I don't know, but I'll tell you, what I did know at the time, to go and attack Iraq as a reaction... to
9/11? Well, it's sort of like, you know, we're concerned about what happened on 9/11, so we attack Mexico.
There's just
no connection at all. A total disconnect.
I don't care how many weapons he couldn't have used any of them.
You're right.
He was in our crosshairs, and the idea that this whole debate has been going on for 2 years and nobody's brought this up. That we had this guy in our crosshairs, that he was he couldn't fly in half of his country, that we were listening and watching everything he did. I said that at the outset.
Well, that's what
this
Richard
was crazy.
And this is what Richard Clark said in his book Against All Enemies. In essence, what you have said, you know, they were not a threat to us. So why didn't you finish what you set out to do instead of using the attack of 9/11 to justify going into Iraq, which
Absolutely.
Has just gotten us into a quagmire? But we're a long way away from the subject of immigration.
I agree.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Glenn Spencer. We're talking about the immigration invasion here in the United States and the impact, you know, of this on every aspect of our society. Now, what is the immigration invasion, illegal immigration invasion, done to our health care system down along the border?
Well, you know this, Doc.
Well, I know, but I want you to tell
us. You're a medical doctor. You practiced. You know that when people come into an emergency room, you're obligated to the Hippocratic Oath. You have to take care of them. But
no, not the Hippocratic Oath. The federal government tells you you have to, and whether you want to or
right.
not.
So what happens is this is now the main health care system for millions of people who've come into this country illegally. They just walk into a hospital and say, you know, I've got this problem, and you have to take care of them. And what's happening is we're closing down emergency rooms all across the Southwest. And so if you get sick, God help you, because nobody else will.
Well, my understanding is even some of the hospitals are having to close because there's no way that they can provide the emergency room coverage and not get paid for it. There's just not enough money then to fund the rest of the hospital.
Well, Congress did pass a law this year that provided, now listen to this, this is beautiful, that provided $1 billion to pay for the care for illegal aliens, right? But when Congressman Rohrabacher rose and tried to offer an amendment to say maybe we should ask them if they're illegal or not, they voted him down.
I know. Most of the congressmen are in the hands of the pockets of the people from the Ford and the other foundations.
Absolutely.
And the people of great wealth who want this illegal immigration.
Absolutely.
Until people understand that, none of this really makes sense.
That's correct.
And so this is really disrupting our health care delivery system, and of course it's driving up health care costs, not just along the border, but all across our country. And it said that, you know, in Los Angeles County Hospital, what is it, 60% or 70% of the children born there are born to illegal immigrants?
Yeah, according to the numbers from Supervisor Antonovich, it's 67% of the children born in L.A. County hospitals are born to people in the country illegally.
And then, of course, once they are born here, then they become automatic citizens.
Automatic
they
citizens.
They bring their families in. And
now what happens is, since they're citizens, right, that qualifies the entire family for welfare.
The thing that troubles me most, Dr. Stan, can you still hear me?
Sure, I'm listening here.
That troubles me most of all of everything is that, you know, I've been at this for almost 13 years full time. When are the American people going to do something? Well, I saw today a picture out of Temecula, California, where there were some Americans down there with American flags in front of the Temecula Border Patrol facility, supporting the Border Patrol because of these sweeps. And I mentioned to my assistant, I said, oh my gosh, here's a group of Americans protesting and supporting the Border Patrol, and I had nothing to do with it, right? I didn't have to organize it.
And the thing is, of course, the Border Patrol has come under tremendous criticism for daring to have these sweeps to find out people who are here violating our laws and here illegally. And what a terrible, inhumane thing that is. Why, that's going to put these people into a state of fear and panic.
Absolutely. And thank goodness for Congressman Tom Tancredo, who went out on the floor of the House of Representatives and actually got 50... members of the House, including the leader of the House, to sign a letter to the Border Patrol encouraging them to continue.
Well, of course, Tom Tancredo has actually sort of been targeted. They want to get him out of Congress, don't they? People who support the illegal immigration and the destruction of America, he's a real thorn in their side and in their plan to disrupt our society.
No question about it, but he's a brave American, and we have to support him. But he's beginning to make a difference, I hope. I know, but it's really up to individual Americans. This is not a drill. This is not a rehearsal. This is a real thing.
And we are under attack today. We are being invaded. And the fact that this is not brought out dramatically, that most people have never even heard of what Glenn is doing there, or in fact heard of his organizations.
Yeah, 99.9% of the people have never heard of me or what I'm doing.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can donate if they see fit, if they want to help you in what you're doing, because I think what you're doing is so important.
All right, can you hang on just a real quick second?
Sure.
I have to switch phones.
Okay, fine. And, of course, Glenn is on the front lines of this battle, and he's been doing this. He doesn't get paid for what he's doing. Like myself, he's calling.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're doing fine.
Okay.
Are you from Verizon, or are you this Glenn Spencer? No, that's what they say on television. You know, can you hear me now? Go ahead.
Well, let me tell you a story about a donation we just got. I put together a DVD. I can produce. I do video editing, and I made a DVD, and I sent it out to a few people that I thought might be interested. And I got a letter back from our California address, which we don't get many letters from there, and it's a service, and so they only send it to us about every 2 weeks. And it sat on my desk for about a week because I saw it came from California, and I could sort of see through the envelope, and it appeared to be an article that somebody wanted me to read. And I thought, okay, well, I'll get to it. And so I finally opened it, and I opened this letter, Dr. Stan, and yes, it was an article somebody wanted me to read, but inside of it was a check. Was a check, a donation to us. For $10,000.
Well, that sort of makes the whole day, doesn't it? And, of course, you know, like Glenn, we're all dependent upon people out there, but Glenn's work is really so important. And as somebody who feels that strongly about America, realizes that we are under attack, and they're willing to put $10,000 into it. And there are so many good people out there. And, Sydney, when we get back from this break, Glenn's going to tell you how to get in touch with him. And maybe you'd like to give, whatever you can afford to give. Because, believe me, this is a labor of love for Glenn, as it is for all of us on the front lines of this battle. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Glenn, I'm going to have you give your name upon me and your address, but only when we get back and when we've got all the people listening.
Sure.
So we've got five or six stations now that are shortwave, certainly our five stations in the Christian Broadcasting System wouldn't hear it, so I want them to be able to have that information readily available, and so they'll be back with us in about 3 or 4 minutes here.
Sure.
Under any circumstances, Glenn is on the front lines of this battle, and of course, he has led many petition drives and initiative drives in the past. In fact, it was about a couple of years ago when he tried to get a recall Governor Davis petition. 1999. And the thing is that we got absolutely no information. The only reason I heard about it, I think somebody called me and said, why don't you help Glenn Spencer recall the governor? I said, well, I didn't even know he was trying. He got over, 300,000?
300,000 signatures.
Right. And that was with a total blackout by the media.
Yeah.
That was a total blackout by television. That was, maybe there were a few of the radio stations, the conservative radio stations. Some of them give you some help?
A couple. Not many. They were so frightened. We were told that the California Bar Association had warned its members, you talk to this guy, you don't do business in California. California Bar Association.
Well, that's what's known as freedom of speech,
Yeah, right.
And, of course, the tremendous pressure behind...
I mean, these lawyers are experts at denying you your freedoms.
Right.
And you know how to do it.
And, of course, the thing was that Governor Davis had violated the law. The people of the state of California had voted for Prop 187, which would, of course, have limited the ability of illegal aliens to get free education. And there were a number of stipulations in there. They were all perfectly constitutional. And this would have, of course, discouraged people from coming to our country illegally. Now, what we have done is create a situation where we're saying, you come to America, you get across the border, and you're going to live in the land of milk and honey. Now, if I was a Mexican peasant or a poor Mexican living, down there in the heat and the dust and the filth and of Mexico, with a sense of hopelessness and little hope for myself and my family, and I knew that if I could get across the border, I could get free health care and welfare benefits by one guise or another, and get a good paying job, and of course I could even get a subsidized education, I get my family across here, we get free education. Who among you wouldn't come? In fact, there are even ways that you can even get subsidized housing and all sorts of goodies. And what we have done is create a situation where we encourage people to come here in violation of our laws. And so is it little wonder that they do come? I don't fault them for coming. I fault our government for encouraging them and allowing them to come and, of course, disrupt the order of our society.
Well,
so
that's absolutely right. And Jack Kemp just recently came out and criticized people who wanted to control the border. He was the head of Housing and Urban Development and wrote a letter, and we have it on file, opening our public housing to illegal aliens. Jack Kemp did that.
Well, I think Jack Kemp sold out a long time ago.
Sold out a long time ago.
He was getting, $300,000 or $400,000 a year giving talks. You don't do that if you're representing America. You only
right.
do that if you're representing the power establishment. I'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Dr. Stan, and first we were just talking about how Jack Kemp had opened up our housing to illegal immigrants, and he and William Bennett and Gene Kirkpatrick, they all posed as conservatives. Right, Gene Kirkpatrick was on the board of the League for Industrial Democracy. They were the American Fabian Socialists. William Bennett is part of the PNAC group, and of course Jack Kemp goes right along with the establishment. They had a special little group, and they were all getting big fat salaries to betray America. All the time posing as conservatives. But
right
now I want Glenn Spencer to tell you how you can get in touch with him and you can help his endeavor.
Well, there's a couple of ways of doing it. Come on down to Arizona. Call us. We have an 800 number, 1-800-600-8642. And Dr. Stan, I'd like to tell you a story about somebody who came down here. A gal called us and said, I want to come down and volunteer for a while with your group. I'd like to first meet you. It was March 6th. We had a rally in Tucson to put troops on the border, and she met us there, and then came down here, and I said, please stay with us, like a bed and breakfast. We have a facility here where you can stay. And so she came in and went to the rally and came into our office, and I said, well, you want to help out in the office? What kind of skills do you have? She says, well, I have a master's degree in library science, and she says, I also have a law degree. Attractive lady. And I said, well, that's interesting. So she went to work with us, doing legal work online and helping us do some research. And then she went down to the border with us and observed us flying our unmanned aerial vehicle. And we flew it along the border, and I was driving back with her to the office, and she said, I can't believe this. She said, Glenn, what do you need to get this? What's your high priority? I said, we need a night camera, an infrared camera for the airplane. And she said, how much does that cost? And I said, about $8,000. And she said, I'll put half of it up if you could find the rest.
And so
we did find the rest.
And you did, and so that's actually why, of course, you have those night cameras, and you can actually go up on the website, and that's American, American Border Patrol?
Very sophisticated, very knowledgeable person who came down, watched what we were doing, right, and made a rational decision, and since has been a big supporter of ours.
Well, I'm so with
him. If there's anybody out there who would like to come down and see what we really do, please call us at 1-800-600-8642.
And what, 1-800-600-8642.
And come on down, and we can. It's very safe, and we can show you, what we're doing on the front lines of America's borders.
All right. Well, we've got Herman calling in from Carmel. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Good. Great program. Last couple of days, John McCain, there was an article that said he is very concerned about the 10-plus million illegal aliens, that they are not being given a fair shake, and that they need to be somehow legalized and made into citizens.
What would you expect from John McCain, who betrayed every man who was over there as a prisoner of war? He was referred to as the prince. We have pictures of him actually hugging the man who tortured so many of the American prisoners of war. And there's John McCain hugging him when this man comes to Washington, D.C. Many of the prisoners of war, none of the people who were prisoners of war will have anything good to say about John McCain. He betrayed our POWs. He was working on the same committee with John Kerry. Everything was done to bury the fact that there were American prisoners of war left behind in Vietnam. And, of course, he is very pro-Viet Cong. When he was asked why he was running for the presidency, many people think he is a Manchurian candidate. His reply, and we have the article, anybody wants to see it out of Newsweek, he said, Senator, why do you want to run for presidency? And his remark was, because Angela Lansbury turned over the Queen of Diamonds. Now, maybe he said that with tongue-in-cheek. But I think his actions speak far louder than words. Certainly, John McCain never saw something that would disrupt our country, any sort of a program that he didn't love. That's the senator from Arizona. Anything else you want to say, Herman?
Well, one thing, if people who are listening are wondering, how can we solve this problem and have workers for our jobs, low-income jobs that Americans may not want to do, I suggest you look no further than Switzerland. And I remember meeting a gentleman years ago in the 70s, and he was Turkish. He had lived in Switzerland for almost 18 years, and he said as long as he had a job, he could stay there. But beyond that, he would have to go home to Turkey, and he could never bring his family.
Hold that thought there.
Be working there.
Hold that thought. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we lost Herman there. I was going to let him hang on and complete his thought there, but, of course, Herman was just simply saying that in Switzerland, you can come in if they need you to work, but when you lose your job, why, you leave the country, and you're not going to be able to bring your family there. And this is what other countries do. There is no other country in the world that has this unregulated immigration and allows millions and millions of people to come into this country illegally to disrupt our economy. And as the economy begins to turn down, I think that why we're going to find that there are an awful lot of Americans who might be looking for these jobs, and they're not going to be available. Well, let's get back to our special guest here, Glenn Spencer. And Glenn, you know, what do you think about Senator McCain's remarks that Herman was referring to?
I have a little clip here from the O'Reilly Factor of John McCain. I'd like to play it for you.
Go right ahead.
Hang on, here it comes.
Well, wait a minute. Everybody understands the plight of the poor Mexican people. But then it's not going to get any better down there unless they become self-sufficient. By letting them come over here, and millions of them pour through, the state of Arizona, $125 million a year comes out of the state budget. Now, in Arizona, you have the highest dropout rate in the country, all right? You have an educational system in dire trouble. You have about a million arrests on the border. The jails are overflowing. Now, you've got to put the American people ahead of the Mexican people because this is the USA. Am I wrong?
Well, Bill, there's many Hispanic citizens in my state of Arizona who are proud of their culture and their heritage, and I'm not sure they would exactly agree with you.
Now, of course, what he's doing is confusing illegal immigration with legal, isn't it?
He said that you should put illegal Mexicans ahead of Americans.
Right.
That's what he just said. I don't think, he said, I'm sure there are many Hispanics in my district who would disagree with you.
But is he talking about illegal or legal? And what he's doing is confusing the issue.
Absolutely. Here is a guy who has said that flying these UAVs on the border is a bad idea. The one thing they will do is save lives. This man, this guy, McCain, is a Manchurian candidate.
Well,
he is wacko bananas.
Well, at least you don't hold your thoughts. We're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest this evening is Glenn Spencer of American Patrol, and we're talking about the tragic situation where America is being invaded and the average American really doesn't understand. But they will understand if President Bush has his way, or if he's not elected, if Senator Kerry has his way, because both of the candidates really want to make everybody who's here illegal, legal, and then they can bring in their friends, their relatives. Wasn't there somebody on your board who was talking about the events? What would happen when these people brought in all of their relatives? What was that about, Glenn?
Well, you know, Bill King ran the amnesty program in 1986-87 for the INS. He ran it. He told me, he said, if there is another general amnesty, it will cover half of Mexico, 45 million people.
That means that everybody would be able to bring in three more, and that would be about 45 million. And by that time, forget about the electoral process. They can manipulate these people to vote any way they want to.
Exactly. You just lost your country. What they're talking about, legalizing the people who are here, is a decision between America and no America. That's the decision.
But I think the decision has already been made by President Bush and Vicente Fox. And I think that President Bush intends to do this. He's backed away from it because the elections are coming up. And he knows that this will be very unpopular with the average individual. Now, believe me, I don't support John Kerry. But I certainly don't support John Bush, pardon me, George Bush either, because I believe they both have exactly the same agenda, but they don't want the American people to understand that loyalty is not to this country, but to this internationalist dream, which is the dream of all of the elite, and this is exactly what they want.
Well, Kerry is kind of special in this regard, because he has a national co-chairman by the name of Antonio Villaraigosa.
Not Raigosa.
What?
Is that man really his national co-chairman?
Yes.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about him?
Well, Antonio Villaraigosa, who is presently a member of the City Council of Los Angeles, formerly chairman of the California State Assembly, we featured in an ad where he, in August of 1999, was shown on the front page of the L.A. Times with the president of Mexico applauding the killing of Proposition 187. This guy is an agent of Mexico. He is Reconquista to the nth degree. He is here to destroy this country. That's his job. And he is the national co-chairman of the Kerry campaign.
We don't have much of a choice, do we? It's sort of like being shot or being hung. I don't like either choice.
You know, America has no idea. And the reason that 60 Minutes killed the feature on me and what I'm talking about, and the reason that CNN, despite the fact that their producer promised me that they were going to do this, kill the feature, is they don't want this issue debated in this campaign. They don't want this raised.
And I think anybody who really cares about America is not going to be voting either Republican or Democrat in the coming election.
Now, this is the third rail of American politics. Nobody is allowed to touch the Mexican invasion question. You can't touch it, can't talk about it, it's verboten, you will be drummed out of the core, you know, that's it. It is the most vital issue facing America today, and it is not permitted in a polite company.
Well, I think until the American people understand that our major media is controlled, that there are many issues that they will never be allowed to discuss, like the invasion, like the illegal immigrant problem, like the Bilderberger meeting held about 3 weeks ago over there in Italy, where, of course, Ralph Reed of the Christian Coalition was tapped for special purposes and special work here to bring the Christians in line with the elite. And then, of course, John Kerry was, Senator John Kerry will either be, a key person in the Kerry administration, or maybe he'll even be the vice presidential candidate. He certainly has been picked by the elite. So, until people really understand that there is an elite that's working behind this who have no loyalty to America, but to this internationalist dream, we're going to continue losing. So,
you know, his wife, Hines, right, finances the National Lawyers Guild.
Right, when we had communist lists, that was always the legal arm of the Communist Party.
That's right. And that's Peter Hsieh.
Right.
Peter Hsieh is the guy who won the case before the Supreme Court that required us to educate all illegal aliens in our schools.
Isn't that nice? Why would we want to reward people for coming here, by educating their children? You know, you would think that we would want to send those children back, because we can't afford to educate people who are here in violation of our laws. But of course,
that's what destroyed California schools. That's why we had Prop 187. Alan Nelson, who was the former INS commissioner, and I knew Alan. He's dead now. He died. But Alan was a lawyer, head of the INS. He was the one who drafted Prop 187 to test that in the Supreme Court, to test that Plyler versus Doe decision. But it was Gray Davis who went into a meeting with the president of Mexico who wouldn't allow it to be tested in the Supreme Court. I mean, this stuff is really of this. What's going on here?
Well, the same thing is true with
revolution.
I mean, 187 is the law here in California. If it, even
correct.
If it isn't being enforced, it was voted on by an overwhelming majority of the people of this state. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, who pretends to be a conservative, is about as conservative as Chairman Mao, in my estimation.
Absolutely. Yeah,
he is not about to carry out the dictates of either cutting government and cutting back on salaries. In fact, what he's doing to balance the budget this year is borrow more money again. But he will not touch 187, which is the law of the state of California, because after all, we wouldn't want to deprive those children of the education they're entitled to. And I don't want to see any child go without education, but you want to destroy America, because this is really where we're going. We are borrowing $1.7 billion every day just to keep going at a national level. The bonds that they're issuing here in the state of California are never going to be repaid. The only way to repay them will be to destroy the value of the currency and destroy and wipe out the middle class. And when are the people going to understand that this is going to affect them? They can't sit idly by and watch what's going on, because this affects them, their future, their family, their freedom, our nation.
You're absolutely right. Prop 187 is the law of the state of California. Why? Because in the Constitution of the state of California, it says that no, initiative or statute, which is what 187 was, can be challenged on a constitutional ground unless it has been tested at the Court of Appeals. But it was never tested at the Court of Appeals because Governor Gray Davis walked over and lifted the file. So if you go onto the record on the internet, and this is a strange thing about law in America now, that's the law. But nobody pays attention. And the masthead of my newsletter since 1992 has been citizenship, sovereignty, and law. And we're losing all of them. And I knew it then, and it's even more true today.
And, of course, many parts of the country, this program is heard this evening in Chicago and Albany and Utica, New York, and Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Flint, Michigan. Many of the people there don't think that this is going to affect them. This is a California, Arizona, New Mexico problem, but it's not. I mean, this is going to affect this entire country because the electoral process will be negated with 45 more people here, 45 million people here voting as a bloc. And, of course, they're going to vote whichever way their Mexican leaders tell them to.
On Spanish language media.
Right. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And there really is an effort, in my estimation, to destroy America because America was established as a Christian nation. If you read Samuel Huntington's book, Who Are We? He will tell you it was this Anglo-Protestant of ethics that was the very foundation of this country. And believe me, there are people who hate a Christian ethic, whether it be Anglo or whether it be Mexican Christian, doesn't really matter. And this is a battle against, I believe, against the Christian influence that provided the freedom that we have enjoyed for so long. And that freedom is being eroded progressively, and the church is silent, our leaders are silent, and certainly Rush Limbaugh is never going to tell you what we're talking about tonight.
I don't think so. I have a slightly different take on this. By the way, next week my younger brother is going to be visiting me here in Arizona. He is a Presbyterian minister with a PhD from Princeton, and he studied in Germany and in the Soviet Union, as a matter of fact. And he is a renowned scholar.
Well, with education like that, he's immediately suspect.
But he's a pretty bright fellow.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
And we're going to be talking about this thing at some length, and he has a very open mind, and I'm going to be interested to explore where he's coming on this. I kind of come at it You know, years ago, when I was a student in college, I was actually studying physics and mathematics. And as an undergraduate, I just finished a couple of years of calculus and Newtonian physics, and I was reading an early work in American literature. And I found in reading this work, in analyzing the work of Thomas Paine in Common Sense, as a student, I began to look at his words, and I said, this man must have read Principia Mathematica by Newton about 80 years earlier. So I wrote a paper on this subject, that of the influence of Isaac Newton on our founding fathers. And my, by the way, my English professor was very impressed with this. And in researching this recently, I came across a paper that specifically, for the first time in over 40 years, said that Thomas Paine had said he was greatly influenced by Isaac Newton's Principia Mathematica, which I had read. And why am I saying this? I'm saying this for this reason. The foundation of America was the age of reason. It was the age of science. It was the age of also freedom of religion, of a great Christian foundation, a combination of those things that gave us the freedom to think and the discipline to behave. And I find that combination unlikely to be repeated. And so we must protect this nation, which is built on those two principles, from erosion.
Well, of course, there were two basically forces at work at the time of the American Revolution. And, of course, it antedated that by really going back to about 1640, so almost 130 years before, when a group of occultists came to the United States from England, sent over by a man named Francis Bacon. But by the time of the Revolution, of course, Thomas Paine was writing his Common Sense, and many of the things he said were very, very true, but they were built upon this concept this rationalism that men should be free. Because if you've ever read Thomas Paine's book, where he goes in background into the age of reason, why, he hated Christianity and everything it stood for. In fact, he did.
I understand that. He was a deist.
He wasn't. Well, he hated Christianity, and he was deep. What people do not understand, he was deeply involved in the occult. And anybody who's ever been to the Great Occult Monument in Elberton, Georgia, which is where they have satanic ceremonies, there, just a little northeast.
Which is one of the reasons he died a penniless, nameless person.
Right. But that monument is dedicated to Thomas Paine, to the AIDS of reason. In fact, the guidestones there, caption on the top is, let these be guidestones to the age of reason. If you read the writings of the people who wrote it, why, they were totally dedicated to bringing about the world that Thomas Paine believed in.
But the point is this. Yes, he and America were being built at a time when Newton had just described the mathematics of gravitational motion, which was incredible. You know, ever since Copernicus first talked about, you know, the Earth not being the center of the universe, America was built at the time when minds were open and not chained. And I think today, the great resurgence of religion is allowed within this context because of the freedoms that our founding fathers gave us. But I think also that even though they were deists, even though Thomas Paine
Well, Thomas Paine was a deist, and certainly Benjamin Franklin was a deist, and Thomas Jefferson could be considered a deist.
And Thomas Jefferson as well.
But you cannot, if you look at all the other founding fathers of America, can you name me five who were deists?
Well, you just named...
I mean three. Can you name me five besides those three? And you can't name five because there weren't. They were all evangelical Christians. There were two forces in America. One was the this deist, which really had its foundation in the occult. And the other, of course, was the Christian. So there have been two parallel forces in America. One Christian and one, of course, having its roots going back to 1640. And certainly manifested by the ideas of Thomas Paine. And the foundations, really, of the Renaissance, I shouldn't say the Renaissance, but certainly the rationalism of that time, was not based upon deism. It was really based upon the occult. That is one of the great...
Well, what I discovered as a young student in studying the calculus and studying Principia Mathematica, ideas you could call it rationalism, but force equals mass times acceleration, and the differential and integral calculus, which I studied, and to be able to then derive equations of motion, and which we use today to propel ships out to Jupiter and Saturn. These equations are inside of those machines. The mistake we made at that time was to believe that those equations were irrefutable and that mankind behaved the same way. That was a mistake.
Well, of course, there is a perfect logic, there is a perfect order to everything in the world. And I don't believe that happened by accident. And I think whether the periodic table, where you see everything is in perfect order, whether it would be in physics, in mathematics, in astronomy, in music even, why there's a perfect order to everything. That didn't happen by accident.
We didn't go from the Big Bang to Beethoven by accident.
Right, and we sure didn't. Well, let's just sort of wind up our discussion, getting back, of course, to the issue of immigration, because I think that this is such an important issue, and it really does... foretell either the destruction of America or the resurgence of America. One or the other. Either we stop the illegal immigration, people understand what this is all about and are willing to take a stand, or I believe the America that we have known and loved will be lost forever. So why don't you sort of wrap up your thoughts for our listeners this evening, Glenn?
Well, Dr. Stand, you kind of know where I'm coming from. At least I try to be informed in terms of the foundation. I listen to you, and I think you are a great teacher. I believe that America was created at an unusual time. If you believe in the geologists, believe what they tell us, it took 5 to 6 billion years to make this planet. And, it took that amount of time to create the Northern Hemisphere. And an unusual set of circumstances for some Christians to settle on these shores and to form the ideas which are now America. These conditions will never be repeated. And if we succumb to a massive invasion of people who do not share that background, who do not share those ideas, we will, as Paul Craig Roberts said, become a third world country in 20 years. But as I also added as an amendment to that, the first third world country to own 10,000 nuclear weapons.
That's a frightening thing to contemplate, and I certainly concur. I'm not sure that we have 20 years. I think Paul Craig Roberts, one of my favorite people, may be overly optimistic, but I believe we're on the edge of cataclysmic changes in America, and the decision, of course, is not up to you or I. It's up to the people there in the listening audience whether they're going to join us in this epic crusade to determine if this nation or any nation conceived under God for freedom can long exist. Glenn, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. It's always stimulating.
All right.
Good night. God bless. Okay, fine. And that's Glenn Spencer, one of the great people who's really out there on the front lines working, doing everything he can to try to preserve this nation. and it's freedom that we inherited from generations past, four generations yet unborn. So we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to helping Glenn, and give serious considerations to helping Radio Liberty as we reach out 5 hours every day by radio, shortwave, internet, satellite. Now, you can certainly listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the internet at radioliberty.com, 4 hours a day on shortwave, and you can get the exact frequencies up on our website and the newest, stronger frequencies we have, which we've never had before. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you do that by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, and the newsletter really deals with who was Osama bin Laden. And, of course, why was it that time after time after time, even after the President of the United States had ordered the CIA to either capture or kill Osama bin Laden, the CIA refused to carry out those orders? Is there a planned movement that's taking place in the world today that most people don't understand? Are we involved truly in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and today a military battlefield? Well, we do hope if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, you'll just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you're interested in Glenn Spencer's wonderful video, The Conquest of Aslan, or if you're interested in the material that we have on the immigration issue, we have a book called Importing Immigration. We have another book entitled Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and you can't understand anything going on in the world today in education, financially, international affairs, in government, without understanding the part that the great tax-exempt foundations, specifically the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation, have played in molding the world in which we live today. We've kept this book in print for many years. It's called Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and we recommend it to you very strongly. We think it's one of the most important books available today. So, again, if you'd like to get any of these items, our number 1-800-544-8927, you can call them and talk to them, and I'm sure they can give you advice or suggestions as to how you might be able to get these items, which are so vitally important if you're going to understand what's going on, because nothing is happening by accident. As President Roosevelt said, in politics, if it happened, you can be sure it was planned that way. And I believe that's exactly what's going on today. I believe that there is a plan. There is a master plan. I believe there is a conspiracy against God and against God's people. And you'll see that written up in Jeremiah 11:9 or Ezekiel 22:25. That's Ezekiel 22:25 or Jeremiah 11:9. There's a conspiracy against God. There's always been a conspiracy against God. And, of course, it's being waged today to destroy his people, to destroy his promise, to destroy his church. They'll never succeed. But, of course, they can make it very, very difficult for those of us who espouse the gospel of Christianity. So pray for America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our ministers who should be leading the spiritual fight that we're engaged in. Tragically, too many of them have more fear of government than they do of God. We need men in government to fear God. We need, of course, to have a revival in America. And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be with you once again. Dr. Stan Goodknife, and may the Lord be with you.